WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. Dial those numbers in. Be a part of the conversation. We love to hear from our listeners. 855-915-9636. It is the most wonderful time of the year.
You mean hurricane season or kids coming back to college in Boston season?
No, it is football eve.
Oh, God.
Everybody,
that is, of course, what you'd be referencing right now.
Everybody has a perfect record. The season starts tomorrow night in Foxborough. The road to Super Bowl VI for Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. I love this time of year.
I did absolutely enjoy watching my customers last night at my day job. Yeah, waitressing. High five to all of those who do that too. But I did enjoy them being like, oh my God, my draft's starting at 9.
Yeah.
I have to make sure I do it properly.
Yeah. I think I drafted poorly last night.
Well, to which I, of course, responded, your whole fall is going to be ruined if you do this wrong.
It is. I walked into my first draft a couple of weeks ago, and I said, this is it. This is the moment where autumn goes off the rails and everything starts to suck.
Well, and like, that's what I find so funny about it is, I don't know if you know the comedian Kate Galoney.
Yeah.
She has a joke about the fact that she always wins her football draft based on just reading people and seeing what's going on in their personal lives.
Yeah.
Like, if he has 5 different child support payments to make, he's going to run that extra 60 yards. And she wins every time. Like, it's just like when I was in 5th grade and we had to play the stock market. It was like play the stock market.
I may need to adopt that strategy because,
I invested in M&M Mars right before Easter, and bada bing, bada boom, Mama made some money.
CBS Sports does this thing where they have robots write up summaries of everything that happens in your league. Like, you get like a game day breakdown at the end of every week, but they also summarize the draft. And according to CBS, I had the worst draft of everybody in the league, and I am projected to finish dead last.
Do they also provide tissues for you to cry in?
No, they don't. They don't.
That's where CBS is.
I like to think both the robot and the CBS analysts are wrong, because a couple years ago they said I had the best draft and I was going to win everything, and I didn't even make the playoffs that year. So I'm not trusting anybody other than myself. But already, the Sunday game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Miami Dolphins has been canceled. Little hurricane coming into the area.
Oh, yeah, that thing with the stuff and the rain.
Yeah, so I can't even start my first round draft pick in that league.
Oh, pobrecito.
Look, I'm counting on that guy to get me like 20 points.
I feel so bad for you.
I need 20 points from that guy. I'm not getting it this week. I'm gonna start 0-1.
Listeners, men and football fans are ridiculous.
I'm going to start 0-1. The autumn already sucks. This is how it goes.
Well, in local news,
let's stop talking about my pain and get on to something worthwhile.
A customer is dead after being shot while getting his hair cut at a barbershop in Dorchester yesterday morning. The shooting happened inside the barbershop at 114 Stoughton Street. Shots rang out and struck the man while he was sitting in the chair getting the haircut. Police confirmed around 3 p.m. that the victim had died. No further information was immediately available from police, including a description of the suspect, but witnesses described the gunman as, quote, a young man in his late teens or early 20s. The victim was later identified by family as 21-year-old Alberto A.J. Montero of Dorchester, and he was apparently a student of Regis College who worked 2 jobs to pay for his education.
Can someone explain to me how a man in a mask walks into a barbershop and shoots somebody and then walks out the door?
That's why I thought this was an important story to bring up. It's just like you said, how?
In broad daylight, like, in the middle of the day.
Literally at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
How does this happen?
Yeah. This,
especially in Dorchester. I mean, there was so much foot traffic all the time.
Yeah.
Like, It makes absolutely no sense.
This isn't the sort of thing that you expect this sort of thing to happen in Chicago, Los Angeles. You wouldn't be entirely surprised if it happened in New York, but they've got things pretty buttoned down, at least on the island these days. But in Boston, how do you do this? How do you get away with this? How does that happen?
Yeah, and
there are other people in the barbershop. Somebody's cutting the guy's hair.
I was going to say, that's perhaps like, how did no one not only not identify him, but like...
Well, he was wearing a mask.
But still, tackle him.
Yeah.
Like, there had to be at least six people. We're thinking, picture a barbershop. There are at least like three barbers on, two guys sweeping up the hair, two guys waiting for their cut. So we have, all right, that's seven people that I just named.
Yeah.
Who are easily in there at that
point. I'm guessing the guy doesn't saunter in. I'm assuming that he moves in pretty quickly to do this.
But nonetheless,
come on.
Are all of you on heroin? Like, how was this not?
I know people are stunned and surprised when something like this happens, but... what is this guy, a ninja? He's like the gun-toting ninja. He's in and out so fast, nobody even gets a good look at him. And then he gets away in the middle of the afternoon and nobody sees him.
Yeah. It is the...
That's Dorchester for you.
That is indeed Dorchester for you.
That's why we have a murder problem in this city.
Yes. Well, that's what's strange, though, is that Dorchester had originally kind of... I'm sorry, people of Dorchester. My father's from there. I mean no disrespect. But Dorchester had originally kind of gentrified and become a bit more... We don't tolerate people shooting each other.
Yeah, but then they started putting up all those fancy condos in the Seaport District and downtown, and everybody was, hey, let's move over here.
Yeah.
Where there's less violence.
That will do it. Well, in national news, a descendant of Confederate General Robert E. Lee says he stepped down as pastor of a North Carolina church after negative reactions to his comments supporting racial justice during an MTV award show that quote, made it clear I was no longer welcome there. The general's sister and nephew, the Reverend Robert W. Lee IV, issued a statement Monday saying he resigned from Bethany United Church of Christ near Winston-Salem after the congregation decided to put his tenure to vote. He said some church members were uncomfortable with his remarks praising the Black Lives Matter movement during the August 27th MTV Video Music Awards. He was introducing the mother of Heather Heyer, who was killed during the demonstrations over a Robert E. Lee statue in Charlottesville.
Would you like to hear the horrible statement that he made that led to him getting cut from his job at the church? Because I got it. This is what he said. This is what led to Robert.
Even when I decided on this story, I knew you were gonna.
Yeah, this is what Robert Wright Lee had to say. These are his awful, horrible statements.
Robert Wright Lee.
These are his awful, horrible statements that require him to be removed from pastor of the Bethany United Church of Christ, which is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Yes.
This is what he said on the MTV Music Awards. My name is Robert Lee IV. I am a descendant of Robert E. Lee, the Civil War general whose statue is at the center of violence in Charlottesville. We have made my ancestor an idol of white supremacy, racism, and hate. As a pastor, it is my moral duty to speak out against racism, America's original sin.
I'm sorry.
That's not funny.
I know it's not funny. I laugh ironically.
Don't laugh ironically. That's not funny.
It's not funny.
Today, I call
on... It is America's original sin.
It is America's original sin. Today, I call on all of us with privilege and power to answer God's call to confront racism and white supremacy head on. We can find inspiration in the Black Lives Matter movement, the women who marched in the Women's March in January, and especially Heather Heyer, who died fighting for her beliefs in Charlottesville. That is the awful...
Impeach him!
That is the awful statement that led a bunch of yahoos in Winston-Salem... to kick this guy out of the church.
Well, that's the reason I shortly chuckled, was the sheer fact that that's so abhorrent that an it requires impeachment. I mean,
North Carolina is looking irredeemable when things like this happen. You know, look, I get it. You're proud of your Southern heritage down there. I get
that. Absolutely. That's fine. I love shrimp and grits. I love biscuits and gravy.
I get that you got some people down there who don't think it was such a bad idea to own people, okay? I don't appreciate that you still have people like that down there, but I get it. You got a lot of racists down there in North Carolina, South Carolina too, Georgia, Arkansas, Mississippi. We can go across. We got a lot of racists up here in Boston. I'm not going to deny that. But you have a lot more overt racism in the South.
Yes.
And
last thing, the racism in Boston is obvious, and they know that they're wrong.
Yeah, I don't know that all of them do.
Well,
a lot of them. Some of them do.
The majority know. Like, they act racist and then we're like,
you got a lot of followers. You got an awful lot of followers up here for a city that everybody thinks of as so enlightened and individual. Mm. There's a lot of followers around here. So you get a couple of racist townies together. All the other townies are going to be like, yeah, black people are a real problem. But this is a church pastor coming out and saying, hey, we need to do something about racism.
Yeah, like, maybe don't hate each other.
And his lily white Winston-Salem, North Carolina church is voting to throw him out for saying that we should do something about racism. Do you understand how this makes you look, Winston-Salem, North Carolina?
Just North Carolina in general.
It's tobacco country, by the way.
Which you and I can't really say much
about. Well, we can say that we are supporting the descendants of people who owned people to grow tobacco. And I'm addicted and I don't care. All right? It's not that I don't care about your cause. I'm still going to smoke. All right? Because I need it.
But we'll also saying that you can grow it without owning people or doing terrible things.
Yeah, well, if you're the South and you got all this free labor, who's going to let that go anywhere? Which was their whole argument for getting into the Civil War.
I was
going to
say, which was the principal foundation of the Confederacy.
Yeah. So that's the awful statement that he made. It is my moral duty to speak out against racism. Get that guy out of the church. We don't want our pastors speaking out against racism. We want our pastors to be as racist as we are.
How dare you promote peaceful ideals?
And everyone is couching this. Everyone is couching this in this language of, well, we don't like all the attention that this has brought to the church, and we don't like all the publicity. Why the hell not? You got a pastor that came out and said we should do something about racism. What kind of negative attention is that getting you, other than from the Klan members that are living down the lane?
Well, I feel that it's such a wonderful parallel of the state of affairs in our country that a pastor in the South was, for lack of a better term, impeached.
Yeah.
As a result of promoting racial equality.
Run out of town on a rail. for daring to say we should speak out against racism.
And it's 2017. Like, I mean, I'm not saying I am white as the day is long, as people who know me can see. I can't and shouldn't get a tan.
Am I going to have to call you a Becky again?
I'm freckly, but not tanny. But I can see, like, I'm not in any way promoting racial intolerance. But, like, even in 1960, I suppose, if he said this, yeah, this would be...
Oh, yeah. The Klan's coming down with the torches.
Like, this would be completely unheard of.
They're burning the church down.
Intolerable. But it's 2017. Yep. We literally have drones that can drop bombs. Like, we have Amazon Prime. We have Netflix. You're really getting that upset about a pastor saying all people are equal? Are you kidding me?
A man of God speaking the word of God? Oh, we can't have that. Not in Winston-Salem. No.
Yeah. P.S. I was raised Catholic. The foundation of Christianity is Jesus saying, you were all made in my image.
Yeah, but they didn't have any black people when he said that.
I'm pretty sure Jesus was black.
No. No, Jesus was a Hebrew.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jesus was Jewish.
So,
we know this.
So he is Middle Eastern, is what you're saying.
No, he's Jewish.
Yeah, he's from Israel. Yeah. Middle Eastern.
Well, they don't consider themselves Middle. He's Middle Eastern. Yeah. Geographically.
Point made.
Yes, but he's not Arabic. He is Jewish, and that's why the Last Supper was a Seder.
I'm pretty sure he spoke Arabic, though.
He spoke Aramaic. Everybody didn't.
Yeah. All the cool kids, anyway.
It was the thing to do. In world news, North Korea stunned United States intelligence and military officials with a successful test of a hydrogen bomb on Sunday. The underground test, which registered as a 6.3 magnitude earthquake on equipment owned by the U.S. Geological Survey, is believed to have used North Korea's first true thermonuclear device with a yield of as much as 100 kilotons, making it far more powerful than the fission devices dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki at the end of World War II. U.S. officials expressed shock at the speed at which North Korea has developed thermonuclear weapons and cautioned that such weapons are much easier to miniaturize and mount on long-range missiles. On Monday, the Pentagon reported that North Korea moved a missile to its western coast under the cover of darkness, possibly preparing for a test launch later this week. More fun from Kim Jong-un and our North Korean. They're afraid of us. They really are afraid. They really do believe that the United States is going to come and destroy them.
Fair point.
And this
both by you and by them. And but this, still, it's,
and this is why they need the nuclear weapons.
But it just seems, I mean, my constant feeling in basically in all global events is just, are you bored? Like, can't you entertain yourself some other way?
When it was Kim Jong-il at the controls in North Korea, building up the nuclear program and doing the things that he was doing, not that, just, you know, just about 5, 6, 7 years ago, there was a feeling that North Korea was pursuing nuclear weapons so that it wouldn't be completely irrelevant on the global stage. Because North Korea remains in a state of war with everybody, most notably South Korea and the United States, but basically everybody except China. And they were in the midst of a famine. Their economy has collapsed. So the feeling was, well, they're going after the nuclear weapons basically to say to the world, hey, give us a hand over here, or we might drop a bomb on somebody. And everybody looked at it and said, all right, that's where they're coming from. We can deal with that. Kim Jong-un takes over, and everybody's thinking, all right, maybe this guy's reasonable, maybe we can actually get an end to the nuclear program, and it was shut down for a brief period of time. Then it comes back, and it comes back bigger and better than ever.
Iron fist style.
They have, if they did in fact set off a hydrogen bomb, they have capability that Pakistan doesn't even have. And one of the questions that's really bothering the United States is, how are they doing this? Where are they getting the information? And where are they getting the knowledge to be able to make? Because this is not an easy weapon to make.
And how effective are their claims, actually? Because it's like, I could tell you right now that I had a hydrogen bomb in my trunk. And you should take it as fact, but
the results of the tests speak for themselves. Whatever they set off underground, they set this stuff off under a mountain over there. Whatever they set off registered as a 6.3 earthquake on U.S. seismographs. So something big went off down there that was not a volcano, that was not an earthquake.
Well, the thing I always think about is, I believe it was Woodrow Wilson that said, speak softly but carry a big stick.
Yeah.
It's not really indicating anything too inspiring or intimidating that they're just like, look, we're testing this stuff.
They're waving the stick around.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody likes it when you wave the stick.
Like, if you had an actual strong background of things, you wouldn't have to talk about it.
If there is a
res ipsa loquitur.
If there is a silver lining to this, and there probably isn't, but if there is a silver lining to this, China has stepped up its monitoring of potential nuclear fallout.
Oh, absolutely true.
The North Korean test site is 50 miles away from the Chinese mainland. And if fallout, the winds blow in the direction of China in that part of the world, and if fallout starts landing on the Chinese people are going to be angry, and the communist government is going to have a problem. So if any radiation from this thing get or any of these other tests gets out, China is going to turn the screw on North Korea in a big way.
Which, again, is why they shouldn't be. So if you're going to, it's like a surprise party. If you want to have an effective surprise party, don't tell anyone. Don't do practice surprise parties before you have the surprise party. Just sit on your laurels, plan it properly, and boom, have the surprise party. Which is what North Korea apparently doesn't understand.
Well, unfortunately, you don't want to do that with a nuclear weapon because you want to make sure that it works. Because if you fire a missile at somebody and it just lands, that's really anticlimactic.
Well,
you've stated your intent without achieving any sort of a goal and basically opened the door to your enemy coming over and shooting everybody.
Would you like me to raise Harry Truman from the dead and have you have that conversation with
different
him?
Time, different set. No, they, we tested those. We know what we knew.
I
what
know,
those
but
were
we tested
do.
Them quietly.
Well, we tested them as quietly as we could. If you
exactly.
Were, if you were anywhere near Los Alamos, New Mexico.
For the last 3 months, all you've been talking about is the test missiles from North Korea. It's like it's national. I'm sorry, yeah, but it's international news at this point.
In 1945, you couldn't tell when somebody was testing that stuff, unless you lived near Los Alamos, in which case you were like, "Why is the sky bright as day?" Like,
and why
every
do
couple
I
of days?
Live near Los Alamos?
And why is my skin glowing and falling off? You know, that's so. Everybody in the United States knew what was going on, but we didn't have satellites and we didn't have thermal sensors and radiation sensors and planes and drones and all this stuff in the sky all the time.
But they're releasing this information. That's the thing, is it could be all conjecture, but they are saying we're testing these. Like, they're releasing, they're doing press releases about this.
They know. Well, they put out the press releases after the fact, but they know. Every spy satellite, every drone, every spy plane, every sensor in the world is trained on North Korea right now. Okay, a mouse cannot fart in North Korea without an intelligence agency being aware that a mouse has farted. So when they fire,
I do hear that's the number one alert they have in North Korea.
Yeah, so when
when a mouse farts.
When they fire off a missile, everybody knows. When they conduct one of these nuclear tests, everybody knows. It's not a secret.
Which is, I mean, all of this just feels like middle school, honestly. It's like, this one's going to fire something mean off to you.
I can't.
Watch them do it.
I'm seeing the same thing happen with Kim Jong-un that I saw happen with Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
Which is this question of why you don't just back down and say, I'm sorry, we're going to stop. Can you give us money? Because the United States will roll it. I mean, in the case of Saddam Hussein, he knew what the answer to that question was going to be from George Bush Jr. It was going to be, yeah, we'll give you some money. You come over here and let me shoot you first, and then we'll give you some money. Because he had the whole Macbeth thing going on there, or the whole Hamlet thing going on there.
Or the whole small penis, I need to pretend it's bigger thing going on there.
And Saddam Hussein, we found out after the fact, you know,
also
kept
same thing
propagating this lie about having chemical weapons, which he had at one point. We knew he had them because the CIA still had the receipts. He dumped them all in the Tigris years earlier, so he didn't have them anymore. But he kept this illusion up so that he would have the respect of other leaders in the Middle East. Why? You know, you completely devastated your country and you lost your life and everything fell apart because you did that.
It is quite Shakespearean.
You would think that Kim Jong-un, who has a Western education, who has seen this recent history, would be smart enough to say, you know what, I don't want to pick a fight with the United States.
That's my basic point.
This has gone far enough.
Is that I don't get why can't we, to quote Rodney King, can't we all just get along? Like, I get you don't like the way we live. Fine. We don't like the way you live.
Yeah. Doesn't mean we won't give you money.
That doesn't mean that we have to bomb each other. Why don't you just do your thing? We'll do our thing. And let the chips fall as they may.
We'll give you money.
And maybe we'll give you money.
Get rid of the nuclear
Even
weapons.
Beyond that.
We'll give you money.
We'll give you money.
We'll
if
give you
just
food.
Don't drop a nuke on us for no reason other than that you're I've resisted saying, but other than that, you're jealous.
No, it's not jealousy.
It's a little bit of
jealousy. It's not jealousy. It's
a little bit of jealousy.
No, it's about power. Because the generals run the country, and I've explained this, but the generals run the country over there.
Oh, I know, but at the same time, it's like every... Even... There's so many jokes about... I always mix up. Kim Jong-il is the current one. Yeah. Kim Jong-un is his father.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un used to, like, tell people he was Elvis and say that he... Like, it was all American jealousy and... idealization.
Kim Jong-un loves basketball.
And oh yeah, and he can slam dunk.
The big NBA fan. He doesn't hate the United States.
He wants to be the United States, and that's not a reason. It's just like, it's like when you want to punch the prettiest girl in school in the face for being the prettiest girl in the school. It doesn't make any sense.
There is a thing that I've seen happen over and over again in these career... I don't know the right word to use to describe them, whether we're talking about career military or career intelligence or career investigators, where they get into this mindset. Some, not all of them, but some of them get into this mindset that there is constant danger and there is constant threat, and we need to prepare for the inevitable war that is to come or the inevitable attack that is to come. And these people... in times of crisis are the ones that tend to ascend to positions of power, because politicians who want to cover their own asses want to make sure that they've got the worst case scenario covered. And I think that's a lot of what's happened in North Korea, is they've been in this perpetual state of war since the 1950s. And the generals that survive and the generals that get to the top to actually run the country are the most paranoid. So you got a lot of really paranoid people over there. You got Kim Jong-un, who knows what he's doing? Who knows what he's doing other than trying not to get killed by the generals?
And it's, well, I know what you're saying, whereas a state of war is just kind of the comfortable status quo.
And we go to war in Afghanistan, and we go to war in Iraq, and we go to war in other places, and the generals sit around and they say, we're next. They're coming for us. How do we stop them? How do we stop the Americans? They know damn well that you're not going to launch a preemptive strike against the United States with a couple of nuclear weapons and get anything other than your own guaranteed destruction.
Yes.
They get that. But some of them are crazy enough to do it anyway.
That's the thing, is that I think most of them get that. A couple of them don't.
Yeah.
Which is why...
not a good path to be on. In sports news, the Boston Red Sox are accused of cheating. Sort of.
What?
Allegations of cheating by the New York Yankees led to an investigation by Major League Baseball, which found that Red Sox replay officials were stealing signs from the catcher to the pitcher, then sending them to a Red Sox trainer via Apple Watches. Stealing signs is not a violation of the rules, but using electronic devices in the dugout is. The Red Sox responded to the complaint by filing one of their own against the Yankees, accusing them of using one of their Yes Network cameras exclusively to steal hand signals.
This is the most 2017 sports story I've ever heard.
Look.
Oh, my God.
On the one hand, A for effort, okay? Everybody,
oh, absolutely.
Everybody in professional sports is trying to steal everybody else's signals and calls constantly. That's part of the game. That's part of professional sports.
That's part of the, it's the cracking the code. It's like a national treasure.
If you as a fan don't get that, then you are too naive to appreciate sports. Okay? This Fair has point. Been going on forever.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why they have all these elaborate signals, and they change the signals up when there's a batter on second. So because a base runner on second can see the signal and, in theory, relay that back to
Derek's doing a bunch of hand signals right now, by the way, listeners.
So they change up the signals, and that apparently is what our replay team was stealing. Now, where they broke the rules is using the Apple Watch to send the signals over to the dugout, which were then sent into the player. So that the Yankees said, we had some pitches that nobody should have been able to hit, and the Red Sox were hitting them, so they must be cheating. Of course, it's not cheating, first of all. The rules say you can steal signals. And if you're not good enough at camouflaging what you're doing, your opponent is going to gain an advantage.
Enough. Yeah.
You can't use the Apple Watch, however. And the Red Sox know that. Everybody in the club knows that rule. Everyone in the organization knows that rule. This is another example. It, much like there was the Yankees pitcher that had the pine tar all over his arm last year, to the point where you could see it in the broadcast. Everybody knows you're not supposed to put pine tar on the baseball either. Everybody does it. There is so much attempt to gain the slightest edge in baseball that it's worse than the NFL. Infinitely worse than the NFL.
I wish so hard that it was 1950 and this wasn't a story.
there you go. So there won't be any more Apple Watches in the dugout or other communication devices for the Red Sox, I don't think. I don't know what the league is going to... I mean, they're guilty. There's no question the Red Sox are guilty.
Absolutely, but
they did it.
That's the thing, is that it... with this onset of various media, it's... kind of hard to decide what's unfair, what is fair, like what's against the rules, what isn't against the rules. Like it, and it's so hard too because it's so tempting. An Apple Watch, it's, you know, it's right there.
Don't make it so obvious that you're looking at the thing. But here's the thing.
Yeah, like maybe just subtly glance down.
I'm really of two minds on this one, because on the one hand, A for effort, A for trying something new.
Yeah.
As a way of stealing your opponent's signals, which is totally legal in baseball. On the other hand, could we not have any more cheating scandals involving Boston sports teams? Because now what do you get? You get all the haters from the rest of the country saying, oh, there's Boston. The Patriots cheat. The Red Sox cheat. The South. They all cheat. They're all a bunch of cheaters up there in Boston.
I didn't even think of that.
And this is what, this on the night before... the first game of the year. This is our big sports story about another Boston team caught cheating. So now we got to listen to the chorus of cheaters from everybody else in NFL land for the next few weeks until this thing is resolved.
But to be fair, Derek, even if this hadn't happened, they're going to piss and moan about the Patriots anyway.
Of course they are, but you'd like the cheating chorus to die down for a little while every now and again.
Fair point. Well, in entertainment news, on a different, our least favorite brand of sports, or branch of sports, rather, Craig Carton, co-host of the popular WFAN sports talk radio show Boomer and Carton in New York, was arrested today and charged with multiple counts of wire and securities fraud for allegedly running a Ponzi-like ticket scheme with millions in investor funds. Carton, 48, was arrested along with 41-year-old alleged co-conspirator Michael Wright, according to a joint statement from the FBI and the Manhattan U.S. Attorney. The men allegedly ran an elaborate ticket scam by creating fake companies to negotiate the resale of entertainment tickets. They then allegedly used investor funds to pay off personal debts. Both men have been charged with one count of conspiracy to commit securities fraud and wire fraud, one count of wire fraud, and one count of securities fraud. If found guilty, they could both face more than 20 years in prison and millions of dollars in fines on a single count of securities fraud alone.
I'm really kind of feeling for Boomer Esiason here, because yesterday, first episode of Inside the NFL of the new season, which is a great show. I look forward to it coming back every year. He's got to be on top of the world. Today he walks into work. Craig Carton's
world has collapsed.
Craig Carton's not there. And oh, by the way, he got arrested for securities fraud. Apparently, Mr. Carton owed somewhere in the vicinity of $2.6 million to various casinos, which we must assume are in the Atlantic City area.
Yeah, that's a fair assumption.
Now, number one, I don't know how you roll up $2.6 million in gambling debt.
Boredom.
Most casinos most casinos aren't going to extend you that much. You're not going to. So I don't know what he's doing. I got to assume that he's betting on games, and he's doubling up and rolling over and trying to get himself out.
And to be frank, I wouldn't be surprised if there were a totally legal women involved.
Picked the Falcons to win the Super Bowl, whatever he did. The guy's $2.6 million in the hole. So to solve that problem, he cooks up this ticket scheme with this lawyer where they allegedly are going to buy tickets at face value from concert promoters or Adele's management or whomever. And they're selling shares in these tickets to investors who will then get a piece of the profits when those tickets are resold. The tickets don't exist. The tickets never existed. Mm-hmm. Because it's Craig Carton, who's on the radio every day, people are going to be like,
who you'd never, like, you hear I'm on the radio. It's like, obviously, tickets you give me are going to be real. That's like the whole point of radio people giving away tickets.
That guy's got to be legit. He's on the radio every day. He's got a nationally syndicated show. He's on television. We can trust Craig Carton. Some hedge fund gave him $10 million. And so he's taking the money that he's getting in from these hedge funds and these investors, paying off the old investors and paying down his gambling debts. And still running up more gambling debts, apparently. I colossal flame up. Colossal.
I mean, I feel bad for doing $2 scratch tickets sometimes.
Most of us, when we're like $500,000 in debt to the casino, we're going to stop.
Yeah.
We're going to be like, you know what? Maybe you ought to stop betting for a little while. The rest of us, by the time we get up to $1 million, we're probably going to stop. $2.6 million this guy owed to multiple casinos, which means that casinos...
That's more money than I think I've ever had in my possession combined.
Some casinos have, in fact...
31 years of being alive.
Some casinos have, in fact, shut him off, and he's going to other casinos to continue gambling. That is a gambling problem, my friends, when you are $2.6 million in debt and engaging in securities fraud.
At the age of 48, he's not even old.
He's my age. While you were co-hosting one of the most popular sports radio programs in America.
Yeah, you're a famous radio co-host in New York.
Yeah.
Like, dude, count your blessings and break even. Like, you want to gamble? I don't know. Play poker for candy with your niece. You know, like.
Doesn't have the same level of excitement. Story of Boomer's life, though, you know. There he is.
I don't know.
There.
Speak for yourself. I love playing poker for candy with my niece.
There's Boomer sitting there in charge. He's got all the tools, you know, all the ability. No one to throw the ball to.
I'll catch Boomer.
Poor Norman. In technology news, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren was among critics from both parties who slammed Google for its role in the firing of Barry Lynn from the New America think tank. Yes, listeners, I am approving of something Elizabeth Warren did. Don't get used to it. Lynn was dismissed after a recent post praising European Union fines against Google, a company that Lynn considers a monopoly. Google Executive Chairman Eric Schmidt was named as the cause of Lynn's dismissal by New America CEO Anne-Marie Slaughter, who told Lynn that Schmidt had threatened to cut off all funding for New America and remove himself from the organization's board of directors.
I think that might be the only time I've ever approved of something Elizabeth Warren has done as well.
We don't like what you're saying. Therefore,
stop saying it.
We're going to get
Go
you fired.
Away.
Yeah. There has been a lot of alarming behavior out of certain companies like Google, Facebook. Found out today that they claim to have more users than there are actual people in the United States. And Amazon, which, as we know, is destroying everything. And these companies like to make the argument that they're not monopolies because they compete with each other. Or if you're Amazon, we compete with eBay. This is not true. The only people who buy this are the over 60s, who are the vast majority of the House of Representatives and the United States Senate. Olds who don't get the internet and don't understand that Google, Facebook, and Amazon control pretty much every aspect of American life.
Yeah, you want to talk about the game Monopoly? We're living it right now.
Yeah, we are. These companies are too big. They have too much power. They have too much influence. And they have no controls whatsoever, other than their own employees, over the information that gets into the hands of the American people. So here is one of their employees saying, I don't like what that person is saying. Please fire him or I'm cutting off your funding. Now, if Google is doing that to actual human beings with a paper trail left behind, can we begin to imagine what they're doing to their search listings? Not easy to find this story on Google right now, by the way.
I was going to say, that's what, I mean, I remember when I was in college and I took media industries and they told us, you know, six companies own everything. And it made me realize, is the information that I'm getting factual or the version of factual they would like me to believe?
Well, in the case of Google, more often than not, is the version of factual they would like you to believe.
Oh, yes. And then when I moved to Italy, I realized, oh my goodness, it's absolutely the version of factual they'd like us to believe. Because it really is. It's, I mean, look up BBC News. Like, look up any outside of the U.S. news. It will give you a completely different...
BBC is pretty weak. The CBC is good. BBC's gone down the same rabbit hole that CNN has.
True.
And
but I'm just saying, par exemple, or Reuters, Reuters.
Reuters
whatever.
Is good. Reuters is very good.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, go on. I remember watching the news in Italy and being like, this is not what my family's being told in America.
Oh no, no. There is a wild difference when you get outside of the United States, the news coverage that you get. And, you know, it's good for people who want to be informed and want to know what's happening to read international coverage. Mm-hmm. And to find sources that you trust. Don't go to their homepages. Don't get your news from Google. Don't get it from MSN or CNN. Or, well, if you're going to go to the homepages, you got to go to CNN. But don't just read CNN. Read CNN and read the Wall Street Journal. Read something else. Because
broaden your news cert.
Broaden your exposure. Get out of your echo chamber is really what it comes down to. Because these companies have a vested interest in pointing you in a certain direction and getting you to feel a certain way. And when it comes to antitrust issues, Google, Facebook, and Amazon have a very significant defined interest in getting you to see things a certain way. And I've been applauding what Europe has been doing to Google for quite some time now, and I will continue to do so. Why? Because Eric Schmidt can't fire me. That's the number one advantage that I got sitting back here at WMFO Medford. I am beyond the reach of Google.
No one. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Stormy weather is going to continue tonight. There is a flash flood warning in effect. Pretty much wherever you are, if you are in eastern Massachusetts, northern Massachusetts, a lot of rain out there tonight. So especially after dark, can be really difficult to tell the difference between the road and the puddles. Drive slowly, drive carefully. Keep an eye on those areas that are known to flood. Rain continues through the night tonight. Lows in the middle 60s. Tomorrow, the rain clears out in the morning. We'll get some sun in the afternoon. And temperatures rise into the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, a little crispness in the air as temperatures fall back into the upper 50s. Friday, perfect, almost, autumn day. High of about 75, lows in the middle 50s Friday night. Saturday, an even more perfect autumn day with a chill in the air. Highs only in the mid-60s, lows in the lower 50s Saturday night. And on Sunday, highs around 70 degrees, lows in the mid-50s, mostly sunny skies. It's autumn.
Tis.
Autumn is upon us. Unless you were down in Florida and you are dealing with the hurricane. It is WMFO Medford. Later tonight, we're going to be taking a look at DACA, the Deferred Action Program that Donald Trump has seen to suspend in 6 months. Not today, not tomorrow, but in 6 months. Why he's done it and why it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
It's not a good thing.
He's a smart president.
He's not a smart president.
He's a very smart president.
Oh, my God. I'm going to throw my headphones
at Yeah, you. Because you're thinking emotionally. And
I am not thinking emotionally. I'm thinking logically. And
yeah. So I'll be setting Shea Spillane straight later tonight. 855-915-9636. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention on WMFO Medford?
If you're an economy-minded cook, your knife can be one of your best friends. By learning to use your knife wisely, you can get more value for your food dollar. You can buy a pork rib roast, for example, and cut the meat away from the bone. Then you'll have an elegant boneless pork roast, and there'll still be plenty of meat on the bones to barbecue like spare ribs. This is Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
For the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I'm Dr. Tom Shives. Backpacks are a popular way for children and teens to carry school books and supplies. But if backpacks are too heavy, or if they're not worn correctly, that can be a problem. They can cause pain in the muscles and joints, especially in the back, neck, and shoulder. Here are some tips for using backpacks safely. Choose a backpack with two wide, padded shoulder straps and a waist strap. That will help distribute the weight. Always use both shoulder straps and tighten the straps so the pack is close to the body and sits 2 inches above the waist. Pack heavier items closest to the center of the back. Even when it's full, a backpack shouldn't weigh more than 15% to 20% of the weight of the person carrying it. So if your child weighs 100 pounds, they shouldn't be carrying more than 20 pounds in the backpack. Following these simple steps can help your backpack work for you, not against you. For more information, visit the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons online at aaos.org.
FM Medford. This is The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me as always, Derek Gary. We're going to be here till 9 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you at 855-915-9636. Those of you who like letters better than numbers, it's 855-915-WMFO. We're at one of our favorite points in this program, which is called Did You Hear? Where we quiz each other on the various phantasmic news stories that have happened over the course of the past week. And what do I want to start with? Ooh, tall death.
Tall death?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, like D-E-A-T-H as in dead?
Yeah.
Death?
As in like the current state of dead.
Tall death.
Tall death. Death as a result of being tall.
Well, yeah, I know. You're going to die younger if you're tall. I mean, it's, everybody knows that.
Shut up.
But, yeah. No, this,
no, this is new.
What? Tall people aren't dying younger? I don't know.
According to a new study, how tall you are might hold clues as to your risk of various health problems.
Yeah, you're going to die.
Such as blood clots. In the study, which was published yesterday in the journal Circulation Cardiovascular Genetics, height can be an independent predictor of your risk for venous thromboembolism, which is known as blood clots. The same research showed that the blood clot risk is much lower amongst those who are short. You made that a way less exciting news story by just telling me because I'm tall I'm gonna die soon.
Yeah, everybody's gonna look, if you're tall you're gonna die young. No, we're talking about like super, like over 7 feet you're gonna die young.
Shh.
Like your height, you're fine.
I can knock you down faster.
Just watch out for fatty foods, as you know, other things that cause venothrombosis. Not good for you. Congressional Democrats. Yeah, this broke this afternoon.
They're mad.
No.
They're happy.
Yeah.
But why?
Because President Donald Trump has decided to side with congressional Democrats to support a new budget deal, a short-term budget deal, that would get disaster relief funding down to the folks in Houston who need it, and only raise the debt ceiling for 3 months. This has been the argument that's been going between the Democrats and the Republicans. How long should the debt ceiling be raised? Republicans said anything under 6 months is a no-go. The Democrats said 3 months is just fine. And Donald Trump said, I'm with the Democrats. That's what I'm saying. Go get the deal done.
I think that's the only time ever that Donald Trump has said, I'm with the Democrats.
I don't think it's at all the only time he said, I'm with the Democrats, and this could be a sign of things to come.
The only time he meant it.
That could be a sign of things to come from this president, who very clearly wants to get that disaster relief in the hands of the people of Houston, who can't all rely on J.J. Watt. A lot of them get J.J. Watt's over $20 million raised now, by the way.
J.J. Watt, 2018.
So, I think he's still going to be playing at that juncture. And even in the next presidential election, he'll still be playing. But
he can double task.
I could see Senator Watt in America's future.
Watt Gronkowski, 2020.
Senator Watt sacking big government.
Yeah, I mean, like, the campaign slogan is built right in.
But this is a very interesting move from Donald Trump.
And we're going to get into the various moves Donald Trump has made later in the program, but I do feel that he is, I don't mean to editorialize too much, but it does feel he's trying to make moves to make people like him that maybe didn't.
I think you're cynical and wrong, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
Oh, that's what I think about you every day, Derek. Michael Bennett
claims that a Las Vegas police officer pinned him to the ground and said, I'll blow your effing head off, after he was involved in something following the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight. Video that has been released of Bennett being arrested shows that no such thing happened. So, I don't know who you're going to believe. Maybe it happened after the video was turned off. We've only seen part of the video. It may have been edited. I am not going to sit here and call Michael Bennett a liar because I don't know the specifics of what happened. All I know is that he's got one version of events, and the video seems to show something else entirely.
Well, and the interesting thing about it is that, well, there's many interesting things about it, but he made a lengthy statement on Twitter, which requires many tweets in order to do so. But he's also retained John Burns, who was Rodney King's attorney during the Rodney King.
Well, he can afford Rodney King's attorney.
But it's interesting just that if this is, and again, I mean, it's it's a very he said, if you will. But it's interesting to see how it shakes out because, as you said, the video revealed nothing.
Yeah.
But according to Bennett, the officers like never answered when he asked what he had done and kept restraining him. But then when they figured out who he was, they were like, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to think, okay, is this actually what happened or is he trying to stand up for the whole movement?
I think you want to be careful what you say in an age where video cameras are everywhere.
Yeah.
Because it is very easy to be proven wrong. And
especially
again,
in a city.
I'm not saying that he's going to be proven wrong. He may be proven correct, but
at the same time, especially in Las Vegas, they say in Las Vegas, in a half an hour, you'll be on 20 different cameras.
Yeah.
Like, just walking down the street.
And the Vegas cops don't screw around.
No.
They're pretty...
Especially after Tupac.
They're pretty professional, polished police force down there. Never seems to be around when there's a real crime happening. But in general, you know, the Vegas cops, pretty well thought of. So, we'll see what happens with that. Kate Middleton.
I saw a story about how she was prettier before she married Will.
No, that's not true.
I'm sorry.
She's beautiful every day.
Google's mean.
No, the internet is mean.
Yeah, that too. Google, the internet, tomato, tomato.
Yeah.
She's not pregnant again, is she?
Yes, she is.
Oh, yikes.
So you get a half point for the guess. She is expecting a third heir to the throne, but that's only one of the stories. She's also approximately Let me do the math on that. She's about $120,000 richer after a French court ruled that Closer magazine violated her privacy by posting pictures of her sunbathing topless in 2012.
Oh, I remember that.
The editor and publisher of Closer also received fines of 45,000 euros each. That's about $53,500. Yeah, don't be posting the topless pictures of Kate Middleton. The royals will sue.
Do not post pictures of the future Queen of England, even though we all know it doesn't matter anyway. The Queen.
They like her over there.
They do, but I mean, she's going to stand and wave.
We don't care, but they like her.
She doesn't control much. Union of Asian Countries.
The Union of Asian Countries.
I originally had Asian Union, but ASEAN. That sounded pretend.
ASEAN is the name of that. I didn't hear anything about that, unless this involves North Korea somehow.
Mm-hmm. The presidents of China and Russia agreed late on Sunday to, quote, appropriately deal with, end quote, North Korea's sixth and most powerful nuclear test. Xinhua reported, with Beijing strongly condemning Pyongyang's action. The agreement came as the Chinese president met his Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin on Sunday night in Fujian province ahead of Monday's BRICS leaders summit.
I know that South Korea and the United States are talking about deploying nuclear weapons on South Korean soil. Now, the South Koreans have been hugely opposed to this.
Naturally.
Yeah, for a very, very long time. But in light
and
of what's...
for very understandable reasons.
In light of what's going... Well, because it's seen as provocative, both for North Korea and for China, if you've got U.S. nukes sitting on the Korean Peninsula, China is not going to take that lightly. Mm-hmm. But in light of situations over there... they're now talking about possibly installing some nukes, maybe some stronger conventional weapons. That's how but it's not going to happen anytime soon. We're in the discussion phase of this right now, which is also the point where China puts up its hand and says no. And we say, do something about North Korea, or we're going to do this. China doesn't do anything about North Korea. We put the weapons in there. That's how that's going to go. It's my crystal ball prediction on that.
I would say you're totally crystal balling right now.
WMFO Medford. Don't need the crystal ball for that. Salvador Dali.
Is a fantastic surrealist.
Yes. Well, he was.
A fantastic surrealist.
Until 1989.
Coming up blank.
He is not the father of Spanish psychic Pilar Abel. To determine this, Dali was exhumed and his DNA was tested.
My word.
Because that was the only way to prove that he is not the father of Pilar Abel, a Spanish psychic who claimed to be his illegitimate daughter and, in fact, must have read her tarot cards wrong that morning because she is not.
Oh, what a dummy.
And one of the great artists of all time had his eternal rest disturbed. Although, Dali being Dali... probably would have thought the whole thing was a hoot.
I would say he would have thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Polygamy.
Good idea. I support polygamy.
Fair point, but not what I was going for.
Polygamy. God, I read something about this.